This is the Tribune Audio Network.
This is the Backstory Podcast. I'm Larry Potash. On this show, we uncover the backstory behind some of the most intriguing tales in history, culture, science, and religion. For thousands of years, the cannabis plant was a crucial crop in helping civilizations evolve. It's used for many different products, from clothing to medicine. But then in the early 20th century, the American government demonizes it. Fast forward a century later, and now many states are legalizing marijuana. So is it a wonder drug or a dangerous one? Here's the backstory of the cannabis comeback. Welcome to the Sesh Bus, a 21st century experience of marijuana. It wasn't always simply used for recreation. Thousands of years ago, shamans burned cannabis to induce a trance during religious rituals. Earliest evidence of smoking has been found in tombs in China. Cannabis is also used in food and drink.
This is a plant that has existed in a medicinal purpose for centuries.
In the 1530s, the Spanish transported it to the Western world.
Initially, it was hemp. It was rope. It was used for paper.
For tens of thousands of years, civilizations used hemp for paint, food, and fuel. But in 1930, a U.S. government agent vilifies the plant and creates mass hysteria. Those who are once punished now want to make a profit. But they're finding the complex economics and politics behind cannabis still exists.
The entire way that it's been structured has been in such a way to monopolize power and keep us out of it.
Vic Mensa is a solo artist who has collaborated with icons like Jay-Z. This song, Orange Soda, is one of his first.
Yeah, I was definitely high making that song, 100%. It's very jazzy, you know what I mean?
Marijuana and music are inextricably linked for Vic Mensa.
I started selling weed when I was like 11, you know? So I always wanted to be in this business. I started selling weed to pay for my studio time. So that was the way that I even funded my initial music projects.
He's had run-ins with the law on gun and drug charges, which have led to probation. Now he's in the legal marijuana business with a company called 93 Boys.
I just started to make noise about how our community had to be involved in this, because obviously the war on drugs has been devastating for us.
America's public enemy number one in the United States is drug abuse.
The war on drugs emerges from the war on alcohol. As prohibition is repealed, the Treasury Department's Harry Anslinger needs a new enemy.
With prohibition ending, what do we do with this huge legal apparatus we've created? We've got agents, we've got guns, we've got, you know, these colorful G-men out there.
Geneva Brown is a professor at DePaul University who teaches a class on cannabis law.
Do we peacefully go on with our, you know, own society, or do we find a way to continue to perpetuate this on federal law enforcement arm? It's a lot of money.
Anslinger is appointed the first commissioner of the Federal Bureau of Narcotics. He's appointed by Treasury Secretary Andrew Mellon, who is his wife's uncle. With the help of publishing tycoon William Randolph Hearst, Anslinger begins a propaganda campaign to demonize marijuana with stories like this. Victor Licata is arrested for murdering his family with an axe while they were sleeping, his parents, two brothers, and a sister. The media reports it's the work of an axe-murdering marijuana addict.
It was sort of the message that came, you know, behind that, was to really scare people into this fear and this propaganda around it so that people would never want to touch it.
But the case has more to do with mental illness than marijuana. 2 weeks after the murders, Licata is committed to a state hospital. Stories like this are part of a propaganda campaign to demonize marijuana. University of Chicago professor Kei Fujiyoshi teaches the history and sociology of cannabis.
So it's being communicated as a black and Mexican drug.
Pretty much.
There are some stigmas that arose out of that. Black community, you know, jazz singing, there is this imagery of the marijuana cigarette dangling from your lips.
These high school boys and girls are having a hop at the local soda fountain.
In 1936, Reefer Madness warns of the dangers.
Innocent of a new and deadly menace lurking behind closed doors. Marijuana.
But really, how dangerous is it? The government's own studies claim it's not as dangerous as it's being portrayed.
The New York Society of Medicine had done a report that conclusively did not link marijuana with being sex crazed, being violent, or being addictive, or being a gateway drug to more serious drugs.
So why did the government ignore the science and demonize minorities?
I think for everything, you always have to follow the money trails. Who had vested interests where?
Brought to you by DuPont.
Harry Anslinger is connected to his Treasury Department boss, Andrew Mellon, who has interests in the DuPont Chemical Company.
The DuPont Company was interested in petrochemicals at the time and also creating nylon and plastics, and those were all competitors to the hemp industry.
Anslinger is also connected to publisher Randolph Hearst, who's spreading the word about cannabis in his newspapers.
Hemp was, you know, part of paper making, which is where William Hearst comes in, because Hearst also has interest in the paper industry, and that's also where you begin to see why that could also harm some of his economic endeavors as well.
As the decades pass, marijuana's demographic expands.
But in the 1960s, with middle-class college students, the middle-class white community embracing the use of recreational cannabis, it then became kind of cool.
And we can't allow them to be criminalized in this way. So this is also helping this push or this nudge towards legalization.
While marijuana remains illegal at the federal level, half the states have legalized it.
And how much of it was, look at all the tax revenue we're missing out on? Is that part of that?
I'm absolutely sure that it is. I mean, looking at the cannabis industry now, from rec and medical in 2022, it was $30 billion.
Back at 93 Boys, Vic Mensa is hands-on.
Oh, and so you're making this into a plan.
Right.
So
guiding a team to manufacture and market his product.
This right here is pretty much kind of like the design and visual content hub.
Pot is big business if you have the capital and connections, which often pushes people of color to the sidelines.
If you want to have a dispensary, you're looking at about $1 million investment. If we could get it out of the courtrooms and get it into the neighborhoods, that would be great too. You could create jobs.
Vic Mensa is doing just that. He creates jobs and revenue and gives back, handing out food to the homeless. And he's just released an album. I used to want to have blue eyes. Like I was living two lives, internalized self-hatred with racism in society. For Vic Mensa, marijuana and music are still linked.
It makes sense that jazz musicians would have been like the birthplace of cannabis consciousness in America, because jazz is such a free associative art form where you got Louis Armstrong and Miles Davis just dancing in ways that people couldn't even compute. Weed is a plant that has this spiritual property to make you feel happy.
While cannabis can induce that feeling and can be helpful to certain people with certain health ailments, it is not simply a harmless wonder drug. Dr. Lauren Stryker is a professor at Northwestern University's School of Medicine.
The scholarly consensus is that we really don't know.
DEA officials are concerned that modern cannabis strains may be much more potent.
If it's natural, what's to worry? Well, arsenic is natural. This idea that it's from the earth, you can use it in any situation and it's going to be just fine, is absolutely not true.
Dr. Stryker has been researching the effects on women who are taking it to help with sleep, sex, and menopause.
And then there was the big question, did it work? Did it help you? We don't know if it actually worked that well because there's a very, very big placebo effect. But this is someone's perception of did it work.
A study released in March of 2024 shows adults who smoke or vape cannabis on a regular basis have almost twice the risk of developing a cardiovascular event like a heart attack or stroke. There's still so much we don't know about cannabis.
Who's motivated to do these studies? Nobody. What cannabis company in their right mind is going to spend that kind of money when the product is already out there and they can make whatever claims they want?
There are billions at stake, and some say this is an opportunity for society to right some of the wrongs.
The cannabis industry has a potential to create a lot of good. What is this renaissance going to look like for our cities and especially in neighborhoods that have been disinvested in?
She says it's an opportunity to help victims of the war on drugs by investing profits in better schools instead of a drug dealer's empire. Thanks for listening to Backstory. If you liked what you heard, please take a minute to subscribe to our podcast or leave a review. To watch our full coverage of this story and see some that didn't make it to the podcast, visit us online at wgntv.com/backstory.
This has been a production of the Tribune Audio Network.